two Fridays ago, I had something in common with my 10-year-old niece. She's 11 now, but she was 10. We both got our first buck this year. My niece, she got it because she got her firearm safety, and she practiced, sighting in the gun, all this stuff. She practiced with her dad, got up super early during the season. She wasn't poaching during the season.
At 10
Sun
years old.
Road, 10, yeah, she just so good. And I didn't realize, because I thought when I was growing up, I thought you had to be at least 13. But yeah, apparently in Minnesota right now, 10, she got her first buck and just at sunrise. And I also got my first buck last two Fridays ago, but it was after dark and it was unintentional and it was with my car.
Oh,
It
no.
was
Nice.
it was a joy. Just what a gift. No, I felt so
Nice.
bad. I was like, dang, Navit, why?
Oh.
But I saw
Yeah.
the guy. He's standing right there on the side of the road. I'm like, why? What do you don't? And he started running across the street, and I was
Is
so.
there a lot of damage?
It was a what the insurance people refer to as a total loss, which I really think that'll preach right there. That phrasing is like, you've heard you. Oh, my car was totaled, but what it's referring to is total loss. And I was like, okay, so it's worth more to just scrap than it would be to fix. And so this is where I segue
Right.
actually. A total loss is worth more to scrap than to fix. And gosh, I just, again, this is where it kind of gets a little sermony right now, but there is something, just again, we talked about confession a little bit earlier today, and there's something about experiencing brokenness in our lives that I think a lot of people, we say like, no, I am, it's done. Like my striving after the Lord, my, if I had any chance of having happiness or joy in my life, if I had any chance of being a saint, like that's it's done with. And we can, I think, maybe not every day. Maybe some people might experience that every day, but I think a lot of people experience that occasionally, at least. There's some days where you're like, gosh, Lord, is it done? Like, has your mercy run out? Is it a total loss? And that the truth of the matter is, no. I mean, again, does it cost more to fix than what it's worth? Some ways, gosh, it's so interesting to think about like that. What was the cost of? Because some people say like, well, you go to confession and this and that, and it's just so easy. Like, wow. So really, even when I feel the most broken, it's just I just go to confession and I'm like, that seems too easy, and you realize, but it's not. It's easy for you. It's easy for me. But it's not easy. It wasn't easy for the Lord. I mean, the price of restoring our souls, the price of restoring our hearts, the price of restoring a relationship with Him, with the Father, was His life. And that's just like to be able to recognize that. For us, confession can seem pretty easy sometimes. Some days, and I know a lot of people out there, you might be listening right now and thinking, oh gosh, Father, confession is hard for me. But it wasn't harder. It's not harder than what Christ went through in order to make confession possible, in order to make reconciliation possible. So the total loss is what? It's when the cost of fixing the thing is worth more than the worth of the thing, the value of the thing. And we realize that in some ways that is Jesus. The cost of fixing is the death of God. Like the cost of fixing my heart, the cost of fixing my relationship with the Father is the very death of God. And I know for myself, it's not even humble. It's just telling the truth to say, I'm not worth that. Like that's in, the price of the cost of fixing the thing is not, is more than the worth of the thing. But there's something so good about our God is that He's like, no, yes, this is the high price. This is the high cost. But it's what I want to do. And I think just getting closer and closer to Lent, that season of purification and enlightenment is this invitation to return to confession. And there can be so much fear about like, well, yeah, but what if my life is a total loss? And like, okay, maybe it is in that sense that it'll cost more to fix than it's worth. But He's already paid that price. Like the Lord has already decided. He's already declared that he wants to. He's already declared he wants to restore you. He's already declared that he wants to extend to you his mercy. And so in that sense, we can trust in that. Or I guess we can not trust in that. One of the things I'll find so often with people is one of the things that we need to confess when we come to confession is, I haven't been trusting the Lord. I haven't been trusting him. I haven't been trusting that he's good. I haven't been trusting that he actually loves me. I haven't been trusting that he has a plan for my life. I haven't been trusting him by actually, I've been feeding my anxiety. I've been feeding my worry, and I haven't been trusting him. And I think that there's something really powerful about just recognizing that and naming that in confession. Because to think about how beautiful this is, how powerful it is if I go to confession and I'm confessing to the Lord through the priest that I haven't been trusting the Lord, like, how good is that? I'm in the very act of confessing a lack of trust, I'm exercising trust. Like, it's in the very action of confessing that I've placed myself first and I've given myself over to anxiety, all these things, I'm actually placing him first. And I'm essentially saying no to that burden of anxiety. There's something so powerful about recognizing that he has declared that he wanted. Gosh, how do we even understand this? He declared that he actually wants. He wanted to die for us. He wanted to forgive us. He wanted to give us new life, and he still does. It's one of the reasons why. I've shared this story before, but I remember when I was a newly ordained priest, I was traveling and I was in a shuttle bus from an airport to like wherever the bus was taking us. And at one point there was a group of elderly people in the bus with me, or the van. And you're a priest. And I'm like, hmm? And they're like, aren't you a little young for that? I was like, yeah, well, I'll grow out of it. But that... They said, do you do everything a priest does? I'm like, well, yeah, I think so. I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure. I, you know, show up for work and everything. And they said, but even like the confession thing? And I was like, oh, yeah. And this one woman, she said, I just think I would be so depressed if I had to do that. I'd be so sad if I had to hear, you know, people's sins. And I remember thinking, like, I never thought about it as a depressing thing. Yes, it would be depressing if I had to be there when people are sinning. But I get to be there when people are coming back to the Lord. And that is the opposite of depressing. It's the opposite of discouraging, because this is someone or people or someone's, you know, multiple people who have recognized that, wow, I have sinned against the Lord and I want to come home. I know God loves me and my life might feel like a total loss, but he has said that, he's willing to take a total loss of his life. So that I can have his life in me again. And there's something so powerful and joyful. That's why I think confession is always a place of joy. Yes, there might be tears on the way in, but oh gosh, it is a place of victory. It's a place of joy, because I think about this victory. So often I think when we stay away from God, and that's the temptation, right? It's to stay away from God, especially when we're feeling the most broken. What we're saying is, God, I'm not going to let what you did on the cross change me. Like, when we stay away from confession, that's what we're saying. God, I'm not going to let what you did on the cross change me. And yet, every time we go to confession, we're saying the opposite. Every time, even if you went to confession yesterday and you have to go again today, what we're saying is, imagine looking at the crucifix and saying, Jesus, I'm not going to let what you did for me go to waste on me. I'm not going to let what you did for me go to waste on me. Because, you know, it's not about being perfect. It's not about even that act of contrition where we resolve not to commit the sins and to stay away from the things that lead me to sin. That's important. It's very, very valuable. But this is not a promise of future perfection. It is a statement, a declaration that at this moment, Lord, I know who I am. I know what I am, and I know who I need. I know I am a sinner, and I know that I've broken our relationship, but I know I need you. Again, it's not a promise of future perfection. It is a promise. It's a declaration of present need. It's a declaration of the present reality. And that's why confession is always a place of joy. It's always a place of victory. Because when we go to confession, we're saying, Lord, I'm not going to let what you did for me go to waste on me. That's why, and you know, as we enter into, we're 1 week away, you guys, from the season of Lent, 1 week away from Ash Wednesday. And sometimes people wait till the end of Lent in order to go to confession. And that's not a problem. No problem if that's where you're at right now, that's your life. But I would say, why not prepare for this season of purification and enlightenment by going to confession this Saturday? To not wait, not to say I'm gonna wait till the end of Lent and then I'm gonna go again at the end of Lent, but to be able to go sooner than later. Why? Well, because the Lord, His grace is here. His grace is now. It's not later.